Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Kings and Priests podcast. Thanks for joining us. I'm here with my esteemed co-host, Dean Sweetman. How are you, sir?
G'day, g'day. Doing great. A little sleepy, if I'm like
same.
Super honest.
Mm-hmm.
And I had one cup of coffee. My flight was 4 hours delayed last night. So I got in at 1.
Oh, gosh.
And then I started at 7:30. So for all you entrepreneurs out there, this is the life of running a business.
Yeah, that is, man, that is so true. I'm exhausted too. Our whole schedule has just fully changed in life.
Yeah.
And so we're like now in full-time nanny mode, but it's LA. And so, you know, every nanny is also an actress. And so this audition came up. And so I'm like,
is your kid back?
Yes. Like running home to watch him for 3 hours and then back to email. You know, it's just like one of those weeks, you know what I mean? One of those weeks.
Hey, this is the entrepreneurial life, man.
You're
chucking and jiving and got to be flexible and
busy.
You know, and then it only gets worse because as your business grows, everything grows. So you got to grow with it.
Yeah. It's funny. I have really since doing Vast and having a kid all at the same time, my whole way of working has had to change and it's revealed like bad habits. Like I've always been that like ideal work environment kind of guy.
Oh, yeah.
I need, X amount of time of uninterrupted focus. And now it's just like, if I'm like feeding him oatmeal and like typing out an email, it's just like, it is what it is.
Yeah.
And every hour actually really does count now, as opposed to,
I didn't have an assistant for like the last 3 months. And I've always had one, but they always end up getting promoted to do other things, you know?
Yep.
And I share one with, with Frank and, I've just got an internal employee is going to do like, I don't need a lot of help, but just booking meetings and stuff mostly. But I just got that back on track. So that'll help me out a bit.
There you go. There you go. And you're in Park City at the moment.
In Park City. Yeah. We'll be here through like October other than Bistro,
Yep.
But we love it, man.
Yeah. I just talked to somebody else who's moving to Salt Lake City. A lot of people moving to Salt Lake City these days. Yeah, it really is, huh?
Absolutely booming. And, the 1.5% unemployment in Utah. So,
wow,
there's tons of jobs. Out of my supermarket, you walk in and there's delivery drivers wanted $25 an hour.
Dang. Okay. Dang. Yeah.
But come on.
Yeah, that's wild. Okay, what was I going to... I was going to bring up something about LIV Golf that I read. Oh, did you read that they offered Tiger Woods' son?
I don't know if that was fake news or not.
$300 million or something insane to come.
I mean, I believe the offering Tiger, about $700, $800. Yeah. But I don't know about that. I'm just trying to think what, the kid is 12 or whatever. I that could have been some trolling fake news. It's,
yeah, something, right?
There is so much hate for LIV Golf.
It's crazy.
From the traditionalists. And because they just sued him, right? Like Phil Mickelson, DeChambeau, 11 of us suing to get in the FedEx playoff next week. So it's going to go to court.
Oh, wow. Okay. They want to get in that quick.
Yeah. They have to because the FedEx Cup starts, right? Which is the kind of end of season finale. So it's going to be in court this week.
And interesting. It's an antitrust thing.
Being Phil Mickelson and coming back into the silver. Everyone's going to lose their mind. So
man, that's crazy.
Drama and golf, baby.
Yeah, it's crazy. So I want to talk today, normally we talk sort of practical, tactical, strategic business stuff, everything from raising money to sales to even how to think about certain things. Today, I want to talk about a couple things that are, I guess, more theological or philosophical, so to speak.
This is the intersection of business and faith.
Exactly.
Right? That's what we're talking about.
Yeah. So... obviously there's a debate on whether or not we're in a recession or not in a recession, which is hilarious. Did you see that Wikipedia changed the definition?
No way.
The definition. Yeah. So the definition of a recession on Wikipedia was changed.
Amazing.
And then the page was locked. And the whole part of Wikipedia, right, is that it's open source.
Hey, man.
And
don't get me started.
Anyways, so we are in a recession, not in a recession. Credit card debt has jumped high. Like we're in a time where, you know, things are not
good. It's not the last 2 years, that's for sure. It's different.
No. You know, stocks are, they've looked better this week, but still
they're rather little down.
Still have some that are,
You know, I've had a rough first 6 months of the year.
Yeah.
And, July was a good plane. So, you know, I think we're bumped for them. I think we're through the election. Like if there's no geopolitical madness or you know, outbreaks of monkeypox or whatever that's going to, you know, take over the world. And I think you get some balance back in the, you know, politics here in the U.S. I think it gets through and goes again.
Yes. Yeah, it's definitely, you know, wild times. There's always fear. You're now seeing it in every kind of sector, every business vertical. Like all you got to do is go on YouTube or Twitter and, you know, how to prepare for a recession if you're an accountant, how to prepare for a recession if you're a creator, how to, you know, all of it. So I've seen this quote come out that you'd like be just on display more than ever before. And that's that famous Warren Buffett quote, be fearful when others are greedy and greedy when others are fearful.
Yeah.
And you know, right now you see the memes, the you know, people, for some people that means, you know, keep investing in NFTs or obscure cryptocurrency projects or whatever. Yeah. But it's interesting, right? Like, we say that, what exactly does that mean? It always gets referenced. And kind of what he's saying here, right, is like, be a contrarian and don't be afraid to be a contrarian when that is needed.
Yep.
In other words, like following the crowd is easy, but that's basically a way to be average. So like, but what exactly does that mean? Because you can, you know, be fearful when others are greedy and greedy when others are fearful all the way to going broke.
Yeah.
So what's the balance there? How do you think about that quote, especially in regards to as people of faith?
Well, I have my own version of this quote, so I'll get to that. But the first thing is we're told to fear not. So as believers, we're not ever going to live in fear. Mm-hmm. The spirit of fear is not from God. And so I'm not going to start my day in fear.
Mm-hmm.
Start my day in faith.
Right.
As a Christian who happens to run a business that, you know, is profitable and makes money and employs people and reinvests its money, I am going to wake up every day. And if I feel fear, I'm going to preach to myself, fear not, right? Mm-hmm. That's first of all. So, you know, it's a play on words. What he's saying is my version of this is when people are zigging, we're zagging.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right. So that's the contrarian thing. And
how
I've always used that. And so let's drop, you know, that over the top of investing. You know, if people are selling, right? Like when everyone was buying last year, Buffett was holding, right? And the market got rooted. So he was probably unloading some positions, storing up cash, waiting for this thing eventually, and then a pullback in tech, 40-50%. In, you know, other kind of blue chips, 20-30%. So this was for him financially, investing-wise, when everyone's going one way, I'm going to go the other way. And he's done that for 40 years and worked. So that's I think the context of what she's saying, but I, you know, let's apply it to something else. We're in a moment in as Christians, we're literally the most insane anti-biblical positions are being thrown in our faces and everybody is supposed to get on board with the most insane, like that men can have babies. Yeah. It's just like that one.
Yeah.
Right.
And
then let alone all this vicious, you know, critical race theory and then, you know, Roe versus Wade, like we don't weigh into that stuff really on this podcast.
Yep.
Sometimes I want to, but here's the thing, as Christians, we have to be countercultural.
Right.
You know, I was listening to Jake and, David Campbell and I think David said, like, we're not here to change society. We're here to build the kingdom. Right? So as believers, like talking about being contrarians is when the world is going towards embracing men being able to be pregnant.
Being able to be,
as Christians, you know, business leaders or not, we have to embrace the truth. Mm-hmm. And so I think whether you overlay it financially or in how you live your life in community or how you kind of interact with, you know, the world, we're always going to be contrarian. And you have to get really comfortable with the herd going one way and us going another. And I think what it does is it puts you in a position for opportunity. So in the Buffett context, he's like, when everyone's, you know, buying stuff over here, mm-hmm. I'm selling stuff over here because you just ran the price up and I'm selling and I'm waiting. And when you start, like the market starts tanking, then I start buying. So to me, zigging and zagging is like the how to create opportunity. Mm-hmm. Always opportunity when a bunch of groupthink people are going this way and you're all of a sudden the field is wide open for you to see an opportunity to go and pounce.
Right. Well, and it's two things, right? It's noticing the opportunity, having the guts and the boldness to zig when others are zagging.
That's the hot
and
thing.
Also, yeah. And then it's also being prepared for when that happens, which takes discipline and patience because that means you got to have, you know, you have to have, in a business sense, like dry powder in order to, you have to have what it takes to be quote unquote greedy when others are fearful, which
means you've
a whole nother principle in and of itself, right?
Yeah. Which means you've managed what God's given you in the bountiful time. Right. And you haven't spent it all. You haven't used it all. You've been really wise with what you've been given. And so then you can pounce on the opportunity, but it takes a lot of courage to go against the herd. Like there's a reason why most people go with the herd. It's easier.
Right.
And it requires no courage to go against, you know, the particular groupthink of the moment on whatever it is.
Right.
So if you want to be contrary and go a different way, you're going to be ridiculed. And at some levels, like literally canceled. That's where cancel culture comes from.
Yeah. Right?
It comes from when everyone's kind of saying and thinking one thing and someone stands up and hang on a minute. I don't think that.
And
the group is like, well, you're an idiot or you're a racist or you're a insensitive, you know, whatever, so-and-so bigot, like Christian, whack, right-wing, white nationalist, like.
Yep.
And so you get all that heaped on you and then you have to decide, well, and how many people have folded? Like companies that have took a stand and then had got the Twitter mob and they come back but then you got some awesome people that just didn't fold, right? Mm-hmm. And
well, and now you have, you know, now you have, and we've talked about this a bit on the VAST podcast, is you now have people of faith, faith leaders, whether that's business leaders, church leaders, afraid to say anything at all. And so what they do is they kind of just give out a bunch of word salad that doesn't really...
That makes it worse.
Make any... And it just makes it worse because all it does is... you know, it's so funny you say that. I was literally listening to a podcast called the Full Send Podcast, and we're getting off topic here, but this is interesting. It's run by this group called the Nelk Boys, and they're like, have you heard of them before? So think about like our generation's, my generation had Jackass.
Right. Oh yeah. Okay.
You know, these are like the new generation of that, but they've built this massive multi-million dollar media brand, and they've got their own alcohol brand and seltzer and protein powder, the whole thing, right? And they do this podcast called The Full Send where they get the most outrageous voices to come on.
Right.
And so they like talk to John Daly. They talk to Trump. They talk to Elon Musk is their guest this week. And they're like very broke. Anyways, they're talking to this guy, Andrew Tate, who is an ex kickboxer. Mm-hmm. And he is like a provocateur, sort of like Jordan Peterson on steroids, right? He's not a good guy. He's a nihilist. He's not he's not a voice that you want to listen to, but they bring this guy on. And he goes on this rant. I was literally watching it today about why Christianity is the most irrelevant religion in the world today. Mm-hmm. And he said, he said, and I'm not even a Christian. He said, but they've stopped standing for anything.
Well, that.
And why would I subscribe? None of these people are Christians, by the way. And he's going, why would I subscribe to something that the entire modern generation of the people that subscribe to that are essentially throwing away the document that they have built this foundation on. And he basically ended up saying, like, people that are Christians are weak, and here's why. And I was like,
dude,
man, he is responding to, I mean, this video has 8 million views. It's been up for 5 days.
Here's a question. Could God be using secular prophets? So the Jordan Peterson 10-minute thing on about men, right? And how the church should be a place that challenges men and raises strong men and not being afraid of masculinity and all the things the Bible teaches. You got Jordan Peterson and these guys literally telling the church what they should be doing. And so God can't raise up someone from within the church to say it. Maybe he's getting, you know, people outside the church to tell us what we should be doing, but we better listen, because if we don't stand fast and firm on what we believe when we're too worried about getting canceled and all the rest of it, it's the church is going to go into a dark time. And that's the last thing the world needs. It's a strong, truthful church.
Yep. So that kind of brings us actually into our next topic in a unique way, because when we originally started this podcast, and we actually haven't gone much down this direction yet, I would like to in the fall, where we are talking about bivocational pastors, right?
One of my favorite things.
A lot of what we've, and I've been thinking about this a lot, right? You sort of have this large, I don't want to call it a class, but of church employees across the country. Right. And these churches that have these massive infrastructures, massive staffs, massive overhead. And then we kind of wonder why they maybe aren't as bold in certain instances. And you have to kind of wonder, like, well, I do get it. They've got infrastructure and staff and people. And so to be bold is also scary. And we've talked about, and I am pretty strong in believing, I think like the bivocational pastor is the future in a lot of those.
To a certain
and
point.
At least in most situations, if a church gets to a certain size, we want pastors to be paid well. I believe in all that.
I was talking to someone, a buddy of mine, Mike McCrary, and I'm going to do a session for CMN, and we were talking about, like, hey, what do you want to talk about? And I used technology in church, and I started talking about the four rivers into the Garden of Eden, and we started talking about income streams by vocation. I said, well, I always believe you should have four income streams coming into your life, right? And he's like, wow. And so he said, will you teach how to do side hustle and for ministers, right? On this whole subject. So, you know, it's something I think what happens is when you first start, probably 0 to 500, you probably, you know, could have a side. And depending on the business, I knew a guy once, he had an insurance company. He was a State Farm agent. And he literally, and those things just run like clockwork. People just auto renew their car insurance and you get a check forever. Right. So,
I've had my same farmer's insurance agent
since that guy 15 years forever. So, but then probably some 500, if the church goes to 500, there's different things that start to, you know, kind of chew at you every day. So probably 500, like 2 or 3,000, you can't be bivocational. Because you're buying land and you're raising money and you're building buildings and it's just a slog. But then there's as you go into that bigger church zone, if that's where God has for you, then you can go back into, you know, now you're speaking or writing books or like, right? So it's kind of a start thing. But definitely, it used to be frowned upon when I was entering the ministry. Full-time was the thing. And if you weren't full-time, you weren't really a minister. I think that's out the door now. We've evolved from that. Just like everything has. And so I think for sure we need to be celebrating bivocation and creating opportunities.
Exactly. And for church staff members, you know, too, I think like a senior pastor is one thing because they do carry such a unique role and weight and responsibility, you know, but even like the young kid in their 20s that's working in the creative department at the church or whatever that might be, right? I mean, there is a lot of opportunity. This article came out this last week in Religion News, and I think I came across it on Twitter or something, but it basically was just talking about how, you know, a tight job market is a chance for Christians to rethink work. And basically the idea and what this writer kind of brings up is just this idea that the ministry and Christianity as a whole needs tent makers, right? Speaking of the Apostle Paul, right? Basically holding a normal job while dedicating oneself to serving others. So they weren't talking about specifically just pastors, but anybody that is a Christian and living in a community and building a church and all that kind of stuff. And so I thought that was a really interesting topic to just think about Christians and their relationship to work, right? Whether they're a pastor, church leader, and how they view their job.
So, man, I just think about the opportunities there are now to make money. You know, I read this article this morning. There's these lollipops that the lollipop company sells, that Sam's Club sells for $15. If you go on Amazon, they're sold for $27. People are buying they literally have an Amazon shop selling these things for $25. Mm. When the order comes through, they send an order through to Sam's Club and Sam's Club drop ships it. They charge it the 26. Sam's Club drop ships at 15 and they're making money on the lollipops, right? It's $5. There is literally an unlimited opportunity. Like if you go on Shopify and even Amazon reselling, there is like thousands of stores where they're buying the product cheaper somewhere and selling it for a profit, you know, on Shopify or Amazon. The obvious Uber stuff of the world, right? Like so many, I'm in probably Uber like 3-4 times a week. You know, most of it's not their full-time job. And I always ask, because, hey, do you do this full-time? Or, you know, I say, how do you do this? And I said, no, I do this, you know, I'm trying to buy you this, or I'm trying to save up for that. And so it's just like, man, I'm always impressed when I see people working an 8-hour job and they go do 2 hours in the Uber, you know, at 5 a.m. when I've got to go to the airport like for a 6 o'clock flight, and they're going to get 2 hours in, they're going to go to their job. I mean, that's the person that I'm inspired to, you know, hook up with in like ministry, like, dude, right? And and so I just think there's work ethic, which we talk about a lot. And that's a biblical concept, working hard. Paul said, you know, if you don't work, you shouldn't eat. Like pretty blunt, and you're worse than an infant if you don't provide for your family, right? Look, hard work has always been an ethic in the church because of what the New Testament says, and just by the nature of when you you know commit your life to Christ, you're trying to just go make everything better, right? You're going, and so you do things. But you know, I think the idea of opportunity now. If I was planning a church, and I was a young pastor. And, you know, I, out of necessity, if I didn't have a big bankroll saved up, I'm going to go and get a job. But, man, I would that job or some semblance of that for as long as I could. Keeps you connected into the community. Just doing a shift at Starbucks 3 times a week, you know, in where I'm planting the church, right? Like, how many opportunities am I going to get as I'm cleaning up tables and I'm smiling and I'm happy and I'm making eye contact and I'm saying hello and I'm starting a conversation and like, oh, and the, you know, I'm from this,
that makes it,
you know, state and we just moved. Like, what are you doing here? I'm planting a church. Like, dude, it's like, so it's, I think there's a work ethic thing that has to baseline. And then once you have the mindset of I'm here to work hard, like I got up at 4 o'clock yesterday morning, drove to the airport, did 4 hours, come back, email, like 45 emails, 4 hour plan delay, get home at, you know, it's like 12:45. That's not every day. But man, that's what, that's what this is about. When a pastor's handicap is under 10, I'm worried. Especially if they have no children, because it means they're probably not spending the time with their family that they should. Knocking off on the golf course, and they should be starting to preach.
I remember someone asked TD Jakes about that one time. He was, I forget who he was doing a live Q&A with, and they basically just said, he said, man, I, you know, this is my life. I've given my life to learn this. And he said, throw me out a verse and throw me out a illustration and I'll come up with a sermon right now. And I will tie it all together. And so, of course, he does it. He does it in a masterful way. And the guy goes, how did you learn how to do that? And he literally looked at him. He said, because when I was in my 20s and 30s and all the other pastors were going and playing golf, I was in my library studying and writing sermons. And I often think about that, too. Yeah. You know what I mean? Or it's like that. I just saw the meme. Of like, you know, venture capitalist investor scrolling through Instagram and seeing one of his founders in the Hamptons taking photos of like $100 lobster rolls and bottles of Dom Perignon, saying like that's immediately when the VC just is like, yeah, okay, this is going to be a tax write-off, because there is just that, like, you know, there is that hard
that doesn't
work
mean you
ethic
don't play hard.
That and we exactly, and like, you know, you think about the Apostle Paul. I mean, I don't know that there is a more harder working person.
Yeah.
I don't think in the Bible for sure. And to support himself, he made
dodging around the world on ships, like for 3 months like at a time. Now let's flip it the other side. He also said that those that make their living from preaching the gospel should also receive reward from the gospel. Okay. And there's, you know, so I think there's a sense of, you know, if once the church grows and your ministry grows and people are giving and being generous and giving to that vision, you are 1,000% allowed to receive an income, and that should be commensurate with the size of your church and the influence that you have and so on and so on. But you know, who doesn't want extra? And if right, like who doesn't want? You know, there's I see people sometimes underperform their potential in their in what they can earn. That really drives me nuts, because you know, I look at them, I go, you should be making, you know, pick a number, 100K, right? And they're just not, for whatever reason, self-belief, didn't get the education, didn't be inquisitive enough, like whatever, they're getting 60K. You know what 40 grand a year over 20 years equals? Millions compounded.
Mm-hmm.
So you, by not reaching your potential, you're shortchanging you and your family millions of dollars over the course of your working life. And it's like, and that's the spirit of Christianity. Like, you are called.
Yeah. I mean, how often does Proverbs talk about leaving an inheritance to your children's children? And I mean, God is a generational God means God is a generational God in every area of our lives, not just, you know, passing my faith on.
You are called to perform at a high level as a believer. And nothing that we do as Christians should be moderate or mediocre.
Right.
Everything we do, everything we build, every business we start, every church we plant, it should be done with this attitude of, because, you know, in the startup world that kind of I live in these days in technology, man, you have a competitor who's writing more code, who's staying up till midnight, who's living on ramen, who's like, they're going to come kick your butt if you don't. Like it's hard in the church world to talk about competition, because your competition isn't another church. It's actually the devil in the world, right? That's what's been a very refreshing thing for me as a competitive person. In business, I have competitors that I literally want to destroy, right? Not the people personally, but I want to win. And it's actually super fun, right? You can't really, you don't really have that in ministry, but you can have that spirit that there's basically go further, go faster, go bigger. And, you know, I'm going to take the devil down. I'm going to preach the gospel. I'm going to do ministry so the light shines on a hill. And, and just taking that attitude into recession, not recession.
Yeah.
I don't care. Right. It's like, I don't,
yep.
I read a lot of news. I spend probably 2 hours a day, you know, knowing what's going on, like financially. But I'm not going to use that. But I'm not going to set the sail of my ship to that wind, that noise. And we're back to zigging and zagging, right? They're all saying this.
Yeah. I was just going
to
say,
set my sail to the wind of the spirit. Like all the noise and the wind of the negative, you can set your sail to that. And there's too long to go into it. Sailing, I did a little bit when I was younger. I mean, into the wind, downwind, right? You can sail both. And it's harder work going into the wind. What are you doing? You're zigging and zagging. You're literally tacking this way, and then you tack that way into the wind. When everything's good, you put the spinnaker up and you just go, you go straight. Right. So it's like, what's going to fill your sail? The financial news? It's been a tough first 6 months in the markets. Like, no bull, right? That's tough. Are you going to fill your sail with that? Or are you going to go to faith? be wise, use all the principles, but let's fill our sail here with, you know, the Spirit of God and let that guide us. And then overlay the ethic of hard work, making tents when I got to make tents.
Yeah.
Then I get to the Philippian church and they're super generous and they didn't have to make tents, right? So it's just that attitude that you got to have.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's so great. And honestly, it just calls back to, like you said, what, you know, Jake and Dave were saying on their episode, which is that what does the kingdom penetrating the world look like? And so often we do want it to look like things like that we always can't control, like legislation or conversation and culture or whatever. But what we can control is work ethic and what we're building and the sacrifices that we're making for our families and our churches and our communities. It's like, and I know he's super controversial, but Mark Driscoll used to say all the time, like, the way to see our city saved is to help men in this church start businesses, get married, have kids, and buy homes and buy local businesses, and this whole city will get saved. And I think that is such a, that's the ultimate, like, being.
And all those things are under attack right now,
right?
Like, men being men, working hard,
exactly,
like, building businesses, like, it's all that's under attack for some reason. So, but that's kind of, it's a moment for the church to rise up for sure.
Awesome. Really great. Always good to chat with you, man. Hey, if you're listening, as usual, hit us up on Instagram, hit us up via email, DMs, Twitter, wherever you find us. We would love to hear from you. Love to answer questions. Love to hear what you would love for us to talk about.
You bet.
And we'll see you back here next week.